we're just barely past that time of year when our young men and our young ladies are graduating from high school and college, some still taking place. And that was on my mind in the last few weeks because I had two of my firstborn grandsons who just graduated from high school 2 years ago tonight. Brother Bazin gave a tremendous message that night. And I believe God has given me a message tonight, not just to challenge our graduates, but all of our young people and all the rest of us as well. Dr. Lee Robertson told the story about a young man whose wife had died suddenly, and Dr. Robertson was asked to perform the funeral. After the funeral, Dr. Robertson sat down to talk with the young man and found out that he was saved and had been out of church for quite a few years. He had been backslidden on God. Dr. Robertson said, as that he talked to him, that God broke that man's heart. And the man said, "Dr. Robertson, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get close to God again." Dr. Robertson looked at him and said, "I'm going to preach at the rescue mission this evening, and I want you to go with me, young man, and give your testimony. I think it would be a blessing and a help to you and the folks at the rescue mission." So they went to that service at the mission, and the young man gave his testimony just like Dr. Robertson had asked. But he surprised Dr. Robertson because when he started speaking to that group, he gave some details that he had not told Dr. Robertson earlier than that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Read verse 10 and 11 with me out loud. Would you please, everyone? "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, what will you do with your gifts? And I want to go right into my message to say clearly to everyone here tonight, you have been gifted by God. Did you notice that the Apostle Peter said to every man, "As every man hath received the gift." Now, I believe he was specifically talking to Christians about the fact that they had been given one of the seven spiritual gifts listed in Romans chapter 12. But we can honestly look at this and other passages and say that God has gifted every person who has ever lived. Hey, you're not just anybody, you're somebody. You're somebody because you're special to God. If some important somebody came in here tonight and singled you out and said, "I have a gift for you," how would that make you feel? Special. Guess what? It's already happened. And many of the gifts God has given you, only He could have given you. If God had not given you, and you know what I thought about doing when I got to this spot right here? I thought about having one of our young men come up here and stand here, and I would just start piling the gifts on him. And I would have done that, except I didn't have that many gifts to be able to do it. So you'll just have to picture that. Picture me loading somebody down with gifts right here. If God had not given you life and eyes and ears and a voice and hands and feet and arms and legs and a mind and strength and a will and emotions and a body and a soul, and a spirit, where do you think you could have gotten those things? They're a gift of God. You can't go to some store and buy those things. They're not there. Your birth order was a gift given to you by God. Your gender is a gift given to you by God. Your parents are a gift given to you by God. Your grandparents are a gift given to you by God. Your pastor and his teaching and preaching and wise counsel and prayers and love and fellowship and direction are a gift given to you by God. In Romans chapter 1 verse 11, Paul wrote, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established." What's he saying? Teaching and preaching and counsel are spiritual gifts given from God to you and me. Salvation is a gift of God. Romans 6:23, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Grace, which is the desire and power to do the will of God, is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." And see, this person loaded up with all these gifts, they can't hold them. Neither can you. The question is, what are you going to do with your gifts? You have been gifted by God. The person and power and presence of the Holy Spirit is a gift from God to you. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now you got saved. Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. Now, all of those are gifts. You're already loaded with gifts. I'm already loaded with gifts. On top of that, there are... Do you see this person standing here? They're so loaded with gifts, they can't hold them all. Y'all see that in your mind? Then there are unique and different and special gifts and talents and abilities and callings given to each one of us. Romans 12:6, "Having gifts differing according to the grace of God that is given to us." So God gives grace to him. He gives a different kind of grace to him, and a different grace to him, and a different grace to him, and a different grace to him. God says, "I know each one of you. I know how I've made you. I know how I've made you as girls," God says. And he says, "I'm going to give each one of you some special gifts in relation to the grace that I'm giving you." In Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 5, the man Daniel had the gift of interpreting dreams. In Exodus chapter 31, Bezaliel was gifted by God with the ability to build beautiful things with his hands. The tabernacle and all the work inside the tabernacle, that was, the Bible says very plainly in Exodus chapter 31 that God gifted him to be able to do that. In the book of Genesis, Joseph was gifted with the ability to organize. And Pharaoh saw that gift and said, "Man, I got to have you." David was gifted with musical ability as a harpist. In 2 Kings 19:2, a guy by the name of Shebna was a scribe. As far as I know, that was a writer. He was gifted with that. In 1 Chronicles 16:42, Heman and Jeduthun played trumpets and symbols. They were gifted in that area. In 2 Chronicles 5:13, there was a choir of singers. They were gifted to be singers. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24, Apollos was an eloquent speaker. And in our day, there are people gifted with computer skills and marketing skills and relationship skills and counseling skills and teaching and on and on. You know, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface in listing all the many different gifts and talents and abilities and callings in the Bible and in this room tonight. As every man hath received the gift, you've received the gift. Ephesians 4:8 says that Jesus gave gifts unto men. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift. And what's it mean when it says perfect? It means it's perfectly suited to you. God looked down, saw James Kite, and said, James Kite, I got something for him to do. I'm going to give him some good gifts, and I'm going to give him some perfect gifts. He's not perfect, but the gifts God has given him are perfectly matched, suited to him so that he can do what God has for him to do. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He does not vary from one person to the next. He gives everybody gifts. He loves everybody. Gives it. You are gifted. You have been gifted by God. I have been gifted by God. Say that. I have been gifted by God. Say it again. I have been gifted by God. Do you see this person standing here? They are so loaded with gifts, they fell out of their arms long ago. They are all around them here, and that's the way you are. Number two, your gift makes room for you in this world. Let me say that again. Think about it. Your gift is what makes room for you and a place for you in this world. Proverbs 18:16, I love this verse. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Your gifts. Look, out yonder in front of you in the future, I'm talking to all our young people, I'm talking to everybody here tonight. Out yonder in front of you are some doors that need to be opened. What is going to open that door? It's not just you who can open that door. It is your gift that opens that door for you. If you try to open that door without your gift being developed and ready to be used, that it won't work. So your gifts are the things that open doors for you. So you've got to discover your gifts. Now, some of your gifts you know about already. You heard me mention a whole bunch of gifts that honestly almost everybody in this room had. Some of those gifts I gave, and lots of you have lots of those gifts I listed a while ago. Some of your gifts you know about already. Some gifts you have, but you don't know you have them. If somebody says to you, young people, I think you could do so and so, don't ever say, not me. No, you say this, thank you for the suggestion. I'll explore that area. Maybe God's going to give me a gift in that area and I can do it, use it for His glory. The discovery of your gifts is not a one-time thing. It is a lifelong exploration. You are continually finding things that God is giving you that then you use to open the doors that God has for you to go through. So you've got to, your gift makes room for you in this world. You've got to discover it. Number three, you've got to develop your gifts. You have to develop them. Now, Let me explain this a little bit. Mark me down as being very much in favor of education. It is very much needed. But notice this, it is not your education that will take you places, though a lack of education can indeed keep you from going places. Your gift makes room for you. And education and study is the way you develop that gift. It is, young men, listen to me. Young men in particular, it is, it's not you. I see these young men, they look in the mirror and whoa. Hey, forget it. It is not you. It's your gift. Your gift is what's going on. If you think that's you, if you think, man, I'm really hot stuff, you're not the hot shot. Your gift is the hot shot. You won't make your gift famous, but your gift may make you famous. Romans 18:16, there it is again. Listen to it again. A man's gift maketh room for him. Whatever there is, listen to me. There are folks who say, well, the population is so full and where people are going to get jobs. You don't worry about that. Just find your gift, develop your gift, and suddenly there'll be plenty of room for you to use your gift. There's a place. There's a spot. God has carved out a niche for you in the year 2012 for you to use your gift. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. It is his gift that could make him famous. It is his gift that brings him before great men. Discover your gift. And then find some way to develop it. Find some way to develop it. Once you've got it, just because you've got it doesn't mean you can use it. Look, just because you have a piano doesn't mean you can play it. You're going to have, if you've got musical talent, you have to develop that talent. God is probably not going to just say to you, oh, you have musical talent. Walk over there, play that instrument, and you're going to pick it, and it's going to go, you're going to say, I thought I had musical talent. Well, you may have musical talent, but you've got to develop it. You've got to do something with it. What was the SMITE camp that our young people were at this week? What was that about? It was all about developing your gift. That's what it's all about. It was saying, come here. You have a gift to love people, to reach people, and God wants to use that, but you've got to develop that gift. You've got to learn how to do that. Degrees are good things, but your abilities, not your degrees, is what will open doors for you. I read a Wall Street Journal article this week where it was telling how major companies have been going on to certain key campuses across the United States, and students who are 2 months from graduating, these major companies are going to these students and saying, we want you to drop out of college right now. We'll make it worth your while. Go to work for us now. Don't even bother to graduate. Come to work for us now. Now, if I were those students, I would say, you know what? I've come this far. I'm going to graduate. And so I don't necessarily agree with what they're saying. I'm trying to get you to realize something here. Degrees are good things, but it's your abilities, not your degrees, that open the doors. I'm glad Pastor Bazin has a Bible college diploma and a doctorate. But how many people walked in here this morning wanting to know, does your pastor have a Bible college degree? Does your pastor have a doctorate? I haven't had anybody ask that for 2 years now. Would we really care? The thing that matters is this: he can do the job. You see that? That's what matters. Y'all getting what I'm saying? I'm all for the degrees. Get the degree. If that helps you do the job. What I am saying is this: whatever you have to do, you know what some people do? They go, they sit in college classes, they barely squeak by, they're going just for the degree, they don't really learn what they need to learn, and when they graduate, they say, you know what, I need to do this job, but I don't remember what I learned. If it's only that. You see, it's not just the degree, it is the development of the gift itself. A diploma or a degree might occasionally help open a door for you. Folks are going to ask you, did you get your college, your high school education? You got a high school diploma? It might actually sometimes open a door for you. But if you do not have a developed gift, once you get through that door public slams shut on you after you get through there. By the way, something I have seen that often keeps people from developing their gift is when they seek counsel about how to develop it and they don't like the counsel, so they walk away. And their gift just sits. And their gift just sits. It's a beautiful gift. It's a wonderful thing. But they don't know how to use it. And they're not effective with it. And they go to somebody and they say, I've got this gift. I've got to do something with this gift. And they say, well, here's what you need to do to develop it. Oh, I don't think I want to do that. And Proverbs 25:14, listen to this verse. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift. In other words, you say, hey, I've got this gift. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. It means don't just tell me what your gift is. Show me what you can do with that gift. You've got the gift. Show me what you can do. Listen to this written by John Phillips. Benjamin Franklin was a man of many gifts. When he traveled to Paris, the French hailed him as a scientist, philosopher, educator, author, and statesman. Yet he left school at age 10 and went to work making candles and soap. The 15th of the 17 children of a poor candle maker, Franklin became the first self-made American. He taught himself Latin, French, Italian, and Spanish. Well, let me go back in time what I said a while ago. I think it's great for you to go take a class and learn Spanish. But do you know what really matters? Can you speak Spanish when it's all done? That's it. I took 3 years of Spanish in high school. And I can say I can do a little bit of Spanish. If I were to live in a Spanish-speaking country for a few months, my Spanish would get fairly well. But the truth is, I can't really communicate in Spanish. I can show you A's and B's in Spanish. Does it matter? It doesn't matter right now. I can't really carry on a conversation in Spanish. Brother McCann, did you ever take a class in Spanish? You did. All right. But you know what? It wouldn't matter whether he had or not. He can speak Spanish. You getting this? Are you seeing this? Benjamin Franklin found employment as a printer, went into business for himself, started a newspaper, then a magazine. He had made a fortune by the age of 42. He then retired from business and devoted 40 years to the service of the country, 25 of them in England and France. Benjamin Franklin has been acclaimed as being one of the most important scientists of the modern age. His book on electricity was translated into several languages and hailed in Europe. He invented the Franklin stove, which contains a hot air radiator still in use. At age 78, he invented bifocal spectacles. He was the first person to study hydrodynamics. He was given honorary degrees by Oxford and Edinburgh universities. He founded the first professional police force, the first volunteer fire company, and the school that became the University of Pennsylvania. His Poor Richard's Almanac brought him a reputation for wit and wisdom. He founded the first free library. Many of his sayings have become common currency in our language, such as early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, and lots of others like that. When Benjamin Franklin died at age 84, he was the most famous private citizen and the best-loved public figure, perhaps, in the entire world of his day. Now, did you catch that? He left school at age 10. I had a grandfather, my grandpapa L.R. Berry, only had a third grade education. He was a brilliant man, a brilliant mathematician. Now, young people, you drop out of school at third grade, something's wrong with you, all right? He didn't have much choice back then. What I'm saying is, he recognized he had some gifts. He developed those gifts. Develop your gifts. Helen French is sitting over here. Sister French, how old now? 90 what? 94. has learned to work with DVD duplicators, printers, and computers. I like that. She never knew she had gifts in that area. Are you developing your gifts? Learn to sing, then learn to sing better. Learn to play an instrument. Do you have musical talents? Learn to play an instrument. Learn to speak Spanish. I've traveled quite a bit in the last few months. Everywhere I go in any large city in America, there are places where more people are speaking Spanish than English. You will go into certain stores and all you hear is Spanish. Listen to me, I'm about to say something significant. Every young person who wants to be greatly used of God in the future in the United States of America should learn to speak Spanish. If I didn't have other gifts that I feel need my focus more, I would now learn to speak Spanish fluently myself. Now, my fourth point is really the heart of the message. Number four is this: use your gifts. Use your gifts. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it. There's a gift in you. Don't neglect that. Don't let that sit there. 2 Timothy 1:16, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. In Matthew 25:14-30, Jesus told the parable of the talents. You remember that story? A man was given five talents. Another man was given two talents, and another man was given one talent. The man who got the five talents, he went out and turned it into five more talents. Another guy got two talents, went out and turned it into two more. And the guy with the one talent, what did he do with it? Talk to me. He buried his talent. And the pronouncement upon him was very, very severe. You knew I gave you that talent. You knew you were supposed to do something with that. What was that man's sin? He was irresponsible with his gifts. He didn't do anything with what was given to him. I am responsible. Say that, would you please? I am responsible. I am responsible to God who gave me these gifts. Say that. I am responsible to God who gave me these gifts. Use your gifts. Use your gifts to serve God and others. Remember a text verse? As every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The grace of God has given you your gift. Now you be a good steward of that gift and you use that gift to minister to others. You remember what we were talking about a while ago, the meeting after church tonight, the possibility of helping. Somebody's got some gifts they need to use in that area. We've been traveling, speaking a lot. Feel like, honestly, we're missionaries out of the church here now. And, you know, we were here on Christmas. Then we weren't back till Easter Sunday. And we were here on Wednesday. Then we were on Sunday, here on Sunday. Then we were here on Wednesday. And I was in Sunday school and Sunday morning service, Sunday night service. And check Brother Bazin. He'll tell you what I'm telling you is true. For a whole week, I had been preaching somewhere all the time. I thought, this is going to be nice. I'm going to get back to Park Meadows and I can just sit for a week. I about went crazy. I went to Brother Bazin after that week, Wednesday, and I said, Brother Bazin, I know I'm going a lot now and I'm traveling out speaking somewhere all the time, but I'm going to be here some. And I said, you got to give me something to do. I about went crazy. I said, don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking to preach. I'm not asking for anything. I'm only asking for this one thing, which frankly every pastor loves to hear. Give me something to do. I said, I don't have to preach. I can teach class. I can work in junior church. I started to volunteer to work in the nursery, and I didn't know whether I should do that or not. I said, I can drive a bus. I got different talents. I've got different gifts. I've got different things. I said, I found out something. I'm like the household of Stephanus in 1 Corinthians 16:15. I'm addicted, quote, addicted to the ministry of the saints. You ought to be as well. Everybody here ought to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, when you've got a bad addiction like tobacco or drugs or something like that, get over that. But there's some good addictions you ought to get a hold of. You ought to say, you know what? Ministering to the saints is a, I love what Brother French said to Brother Basin before he joined the church. You're going to have to get me busy doing something. I love that. What's he saying? He's saying, I've got to minister. I've got these gifts, and I've got to do something with them. Give me something to do, according to Ephesians 4:11-12. One of the jobs of a pastor is to perfect the saints so they can do the work of the ministry. His job's not to do all the work of the ministry. He can't do all the work of the ministry. His job is to perfect you and me so that we can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be edified. I'm asking you a question. Are you using your gift? Now, let me show you a major mistake right here that lots of people make in life. They make the focus of their life making money. And did you know the main reward is not money? That is simply a side benefit. The main reward of life is getting to use your gift. It is. Let me illustrate it for you. You remember this story? Daniel chapter 5. King Belshazzar had seen the handwriting on the wall. His knees had knocked together. So he almost fell over. He's scared out of his wits. And somebody says, you can send for Daniel. He can interpret that for you. He sends for Daniel, who's an old man at that time. But back in chapter 2, many years earlier, when Daniel was a young man, he had interpreted the king's dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had showered him with all of these gifts. Now King Belshazzar sends for Daniel to get him to read the handwriting on the wall. And when Daniel comes in, the king says to Daniel, Daniel, you got to read that writing over there for me. If you read that writing over there for me, I will give you a scarlet robe, very expensive. I will put a gold chain around your neck. Can you imagine what a gold chain would be worth in our day at $1,600 an ounce? Gold chain probably be worth $50,000 to $100,000 pure gold. I will give you a top position. I'll make you third in the kingdom if you'll read that writing for me. Verse 17, Daniel said, Belshazzar, let thy gifts be to thyself. Give your gifts to yourself. Give thy rewards to another. Give your money to somebody else. Yet I will read the writing to the king. Do you get it? The main gift was not the money. The main gift is getting to use your gift. That's the big thing. Now, what will happen if you will use your, if you will find, if you'll discover your gift, develop your gift, use your gift, what will happen is God will take care of you financially. But the big thing is using your gifts. And there's no gift inferior to any other gift. No gift that... Now, I remember, listen to me. I remember talking to a 19-year-old firstborn son about the gift God had given him by making him a firstborn. And that he had a responsibility to use that gift to help his younger siblings. And his response to me years ago was this: I didn't ask for this gift and I don't want it. He didn't understand. The gift was a wonderful thing handed to him by God. And Romans 11:29 says this: the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gift was his, whether he liked it or not. My wife was telling me, I was telling her these thoughts, and she said, honey, anytime I buy a shower gift or often a Christmas gift for somebody, she said, I will get a gift receipt and put it in there where if they don't like it, they can take it back or trade it for something else. Did you know when God gives you a gift, you can't take it back? Gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Did you know when God gives you a gift, you can't trade it for something else? You may sit on it. You may do absolutely nothing with it, but you're in trouble if you do. Let me take you just a little further into my opening story. Dr. Robertson, that young man, his wife had died suddenly. He preached the funeral. The young man is standing up in front of the rescue mission. And he hadn't told what he starts telling that whole group of men there. He hadn't told this to Dr. Robertson. He said to that crowd, now, fellas, years ago, God called me to preach. I didn't want to be a preacher, and I didn't surrender to preach. And I've lost my wife, and God has broken my heart. And tonight I'm surrendering to God, and I'm going to preach. When the young man came down, Dr. Robertson looked at him and said, I didn't know you were called to preach. He said, yes, sir. I was called to preach years ago, and I rebelled against God. I didn't surrender, but I'm going to preach now. And Dr. Robertson said, what I want you to do is come to church on Sunday, walk the aisle, tell the people you're surrendering yourself to full-time ministry to preach the gospel and serve God. And the young man promised that he would. I'll finish that later. Number five, if you will use your gifts, God will multiply them. I love this. Anything you use, God multiplies. Remember the fellow got the five talents? He got five more. He used them. He got five more. Fellow got two. He got two more. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. We're all evil in a sense, and we like to give good gifts to our children. Parents do. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So here's what it's picturing. God gives you these gifts, gives you these gifts, gives you these gifts. You develop these gifts. You use these gifts for God. And you say, God, you give me some more. I'll do some more for you. God says, all right, come on, I'll give you some more. And he just blesses you and gives you more because he's a good father who loves to give good things to his children. Number six, very important. Use your gifts the right way instead of the wrong way. This sermon was birthed while I was doing my Bible reading in the book of Numbers and started reading about Balaam. You remember him? Balaam was an enigmatic prophet who was hired by Balak to curse Israel. By the way, if we are wise, we will bless Israel even now, not curse her. Balaam went with Balak's men, knowing it was not God's will for him to go, but Balaam hoped to reap a financial windfall. God even allowed Balaam's donkey to speak and warn him. Balaam didn't listen. Balaam had, listen to me, he really had some great spiritual gifts given to him by God. He was some kind of prophet with insight and wisdom and understanding and a great ability to speak and use words in an extraordinarily powerful way. Balaam turned around and used his great wisdom and his great speaking ability in the wrong way. He counseled Balak. Here's what you do, Mr. Balak. Have some flirty Moabite girls tempt those Israeli men. That counsel was followed, and the Israelite men fell into both immorality and idolatry. Numbers chapter 25. Then God sent a plague that destroyed 24,000 men. Balaam used his gifts given him by God to promote immorality and idolatry and to bring about the deaths of 24,000 people. Did he get by with it? No, he didn't. And did you know, if you use your gifts the wrong way, you won't get by with it either. He himself, Numbers 31:8, died a violent and frightening death by the sword of an Israeli soldier. Now, everybody here, you have these gifts. You have gifts to speak, to sing, to design, to lead, to work, to organize, and 100 and 1,000 other things. And hear me, you are not on a Broadway where you can do anything you want with those gifts. You're on a narrow way, the Lord said. You read about the t-shirt maker in Kentucky who refused to make t-shirts that promoted homosexuality. He said, I've been given these gifts by God. I can't use them the wrong way. Your computer skills must never be used to promote pornography or gambling or alcohol or drugs. You must never use your musical skills to produce rock music. I saw on the front page of the paper recently where some famous rock musician was given the Presidential Medal of Honor, I think it was called. And I looked at that and I said, you know, I just looked at the guy's picture and the president putting this Medal of Honor around him. And I thought, you know, he probably really has musical skills. He's got gifts given to him by God and he has wasted them. You must not use your organizational skills to help an evil man get elected to office. You must not use your writing skills to promote evil agendas such as homosexuality or abortion. You must not use your financial skills to cheat a widow. One of our good businessmen sitting here right now was telling me this week how that he recently did a job for somebody. It was supposed to cost $300. He found out she was a widow. He marked it down to $200. And she wrote him a check for $250. And he said, you're trying to take my blessing. She looked at him and grinned and she said, no, I'm trying to only take half of your blessing. I appreciate the good job you did. And you know what? God noticed that. God saw that. You have been gifted by God. Say, in fact, let's personalize this. Repeat it after me. I have been gifted by God. Say it. I have been gifted by God. My gift will make room for me in this world. Say it. My gift will make room for me in this world. I must develop my gift. I must develop my gifts. I must use my gifts. I must use my gifts. If I will use my gifts, God will multiply them. Say it. If I will use my gifts, God will multiply them. I must use my gifts the right way. Say it. I must use my gifts the right way. And I must use my gifts while I still can. Say it, please. I must use my gifts while I still can. Why? Because one of these days you reach a place you can't use them. Either you grow old or you die. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then it starts describing all the things that happen to you when you grow old. How you can't hardly get up the steps. I've experienced that a few times. How that your hair turns gray and starts falling out. How you walk into a room and you forget what you went in there for. How your teeth start falling out. How you start losing. Some of y'all are looking at me like he is really old. How your hearing starts to go. My family keeps telling me, Dad, we love you, but you need to get a hearing aid. And I keep saying, nothing wrong with my hearing. Y'all just need to talk clearly. That's all. All these different things. All these different things will start happening to you when you get old. Listen to me, young people. Use your gifts now while you can. Develop them now while you can. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not going to quit till I have to quit. And I don't care who you are. If you're alive, there's something you can do. I suspect it would be wonderful if we had some folks in their 60s, 70s, 80s who'd be working with the children over there. Some of them don't ever get to see grandparents. Wouldn't it be wonderful? It might be you're in your 20s. Use your gifts while you can. One of my grandsons came to me, and I don't know what he's done with this, but I liked it. He said to me, "Grandpa, I'm going to go to Brother Bazin and ask him if I can teach a Sunday school class." Now, I don't know whether he's even done that. And I don't even know whether Brother Bazin would let him teach a Sunday school class. But I like that attitude. Don't you, Brother Bazin? I love that. Use your gifts. Use them now. I got a daughter that started teaching a Sunday school class when she was 13 or 14 years of age. Why not? If you're mature and responsible, why not use your gifts? Develop them and then use them. And listen to me. Don't ever get upset at the pastor if he says, "Well, I need you to do this instead," because he has a different perspective than you have. And no gift is usable unless it is put under authority. When it's under authority, then it's usable. While your physical and mental capacities are at their peak, use your gift. I don't know. I don't want to be morbid, but somebody young here tonight will probably not live to be 70. Somebody here tonight in their teenage years may not even live to be 30. We don't know. I hope you do. I hope everybody here lives a long life. But somebody, I never dreamed I'd have a major heart attack at 60 years of age. That still astounds me when I think about it. James 4:14. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appears and vanishes away. It's just here and then it's gone. And if you're not careful, you will lose the opportunities of your life. You use those gifts. You have been gifted by God. Your gifts are what open the doors for you. You've got to develop them. You've got to use them. If you use them, God will multiply them. You've got to use them the right way, and you've got to use them while you can. Listen to me. I know it's June, and nobody here should waste even 3 months of their life. Use your summer. Do some Bible clubs. Go soul winning. Find some ministry. Do something for God. Dr. Robertson had said to that young man, "Come to church on Sunday and tell the people that you're surrendering yourself to full-time ministry to preach the gospel and serve God." And the young man said, "I will." And when Sunday rolled around, he didn't show up. Sunday night, no sign of him. On Monday, Dr. Robertson went by the young man's house, but he wasn't there. He went by another day and he couldn't find him. And on Thursday, he got the news that the young man had been murdered. He had picked up a young lady of ill repute and pulled off the road in a side lot in a dark area to park with her. And some maniac who was hiding in the bushes rose up out of the weeds with a pistol and, without saying a word, not even knowing who he was shooting, stuck the pistol in the window and shot him in the head. Then he dragged the woman out of the car and attacked her. And Dr. Robertson said that he just couldn't believe what had happened so quickly. At the funeral home, he walked by the casket and he noticed a young lady sitting over in the corner with her head bowed. And he walked over and he said, "Ma'am, are you one of the family members?" She said, "No, sir." Dr. Robertson said, "Was he your friend?" She said, "I was with him the night he was killed." And Dr. Robertson said that he was shocked again. And he said, "Tell me, were you talking before he was killed?" She said, "Yes, sir, we were." He said, "Young lady, I don't mean to pry, but I wonder, could you tell me what were you talking about before he died? Do you remember?" She said, "Oh, yes, I remember it word for word. I will never forget." He said to me, "You know, God's called me to preach. I didn't surrender before, and I was going to surrender now, but I guess I'll never preach. And she said, as soon as those words came out of his mouth, a loud blast went off, and he fell over on my lap bleeding. The last words that came out of his mouth were, I guess I'll never preach. Make sure that you look at the gifts God has given you. You develop them. You use them. You use them the right way. You use them for God's glory while you can. Would you bow with me, please?